40 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Buffalo Bills player DeMar Hamlin remains in the hospital this morning after a cardiac arrest episode on the field during a Monday night football game in Cincinnati. CBS News medical contributor Dr. David Agus weighed in on his condition.
The fact that he's not breathing on his own certainly makes me worried, because the sooner you are able to shock him back into a normal rhythm, the sooner you can go back to everything working. And that fact that he's not breathing on his own may tell me there's some brain damage.
Fans across the country are now rallying behind Hamlin, donating to a toy drive he set up on GoFundMe. As of this morning, it's raised more than $3.3 million. Parts of Nebraska, Minnesota, and Iowa are bracing for a crippling ice storm today. Jessica Felix is with the Iowa Department of Transportation.
We will continue to operate as it's safe to do so.
There's also severe systems heading south. The Weather Channel's Jim Cantore is tracking in.
Today and also tomorrow, and places like Atlanta, Georgia, and Montgomery, Alabama, tomorrow morning, you may have a bona fide tornado threat.
They suspected tornado caused damage yesterday in Arkansas. New year, new airport problems. CBS's Jim Krasula has the latest on some major delays.
Airlines today will try to get their flight schedules back to normal after an air traffic control computer issue in Miami caused the delay of hundreds of flights yesterday. More than 600 flights were canceled or delayed at Denver International Airport because of icy conditions and poor visibility.
More than 1,100 flights are delayed today. Republicans are getting straight to work with a new Congress starting today. CBS's Scott McFarlane is on Capitol Hill.
Along with the new Republican majority in the U.S. House comes the end of the House Select January 6 committee, which was in panel to investigate the U.S. Capitol attack 2 years ago. Republicans are pledging investigations of the Biden administration.
Then there's House Speaker. Kevin McCarthy's a frontrunner, but he still doesn't have enough votes to secure the position. The man suspected of killing four University of Idaho students is due in court in Pennsylvania later today. WYOU-TV's Sydney Costas is in Monroe County with a preview.
Brian Koberger faces four counts of first-degree murder and burglary. Koberger's counsel says he plans to waive his extradition hearing. Koberger is currently at the Monroe County Correctional Facility, where a judge has denied bail.
The students were killed in November. Koberger was arrested last week. Brazil's now paying tribute to a soccer legend. Here's CBS's Vicky Barker.
Saying goodbye to their hero. Thousands have lined the streets of Sao Paulo to pay tribute as Pelé's black coffin is driven from his home stadium to a private funeral service.
Pelé died last week at 82. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Lawmakers and other state government elected leaders take their oaths of office today. There are 31 new lawmakers in both houses. Some of them are moving from the Assembly to the Senate, but many of them are taking their seat in the legislature for the first time. Tony Evers is sworn in as governor for the second time. Secretary of State Doug LaFalla takes his oath of office for the 11th time. 23 states are raising their minimum wage today, but not Wisconsin. Meanwhile, Illinois, Minnesota, and Michigan are raising their lowest legal wages. Iowa is not. Wisconsin's minimum is $7.25 an hour, but many jobs offer much more than that. In sports, the Packers game against the Lions is flexed to Sunday night. The Bucks host Washington tonight. Wisconsin welcomes Minnesota, and Marquette is at St. John's. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit wesaysaveit.org. That's wesaysaveit.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Plenty of people start something great in their 40s and 50s. Getting your retirement savings on track is no different. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in 3 minutes you'll get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
My Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take,
but early detection allowed us to take control of the situation together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Tune it.
While the music played, you walked by candlelight. Those San Francisco nights were the best in town. Just by chance, you crossed the diamond with the pearl. You turned it on the world. That's when you turned the world around.
Can you? All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. My co-host Sandy Williams is still here, but I am joined by a gentleman who I've had the pleasure of meeting briefly a couple times, but I know the impact that he's had in our community, and you know, he's a gentleman who's got a great future in leading you know, churches at a time when I think they're needed the most in the society. None other than Pastor Shaw of St. Matthew's Church. How you doing, sir?
I am doing well. And how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for accepting the invitation. I really do appreciate it. And congratulations on your heading up MICA, Milwaukee Churches, City Churches Allied for Hope.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about who Pastor,
Shaw.
Pastor Shaw, who you are.
Yes, yes. First of all, let me say thank you for allowing me to come on and invite
me. I don't know why I want to call you Pastor Williams, but Pastor Shaw, go ahead.
That's fine. Yeah. Richard Shaw. I've been here in Milwaukee for going on 13 years now. The church assigned me to St. Matthew in 2010. I'm a native of Marion, Alabama. A lot of people don't know about Marion, Alabama, but it's a small town right outside of Selma. As a matter of fact, many of the meetings that they held in Marion to avoid some of the things in Selma, which actually sparked the march across the Edmund Pettus Bridge by the murder of a young man by the name of Jimmie Lee Jackson. And born and raised there. As a matter of fact, the restaurant that Mr. Jackson was killed in was owned and run by my mother, who also had, had her experience. So that was a great influence on me as an individual to be involved with social issues, social concerns, social justice. Yes, I was born and raised there, met my wife in college and at Stillman College, a small private Presbyterian College in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. We've been married now for 29 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And my ministry as a pastor began in 1997 in Alabama. Pastored somewhere around 8 years in Alabama. Then I was transferred to Illinois, pastored in the south suburbs of Illinois, and then on the west side of Chicago. And in 2010, I was assigned to St. Matthew CME Church here in Milwaukee.
Let me ask you, Chicago.
Chicago.
And when you moved to Chicago and saw, the one thing for sure, and I'm asking you, I don't know, but certainly in Alabama, there certainly was not the hatred and the that you see that took place in Chicago, and the killings and all of those kind of things. How were you able to, coming from Alabama, small country town,
yes,
to a big city like Chicago, and watch what is really hell on earth? How are you able to focus and deal with that?
It was definitely a culture shock for me, coming out of rural Alabama, as you said, and coming to, I think that on one hand, I want to say that transition from being on the in the south suburbs, but after getting there, I learned that there was just as much going on in Dixmoor and Harvey,
really?
Illinois. Yes. But being there, it was a culture shock, but it just took time and working with the congregation that helped taught me how to be an urban pastor. Definitely could not get that just by sitting in my office and in the four walls of the church. So it was just getting in. There's no preparation for it. Although there are classes you can take in seminary, but to just be put in that position and having to navigate through it contributed to, I would say, my growth and understanding of urban ministry.
So, Pastor, as between Milwaukee and Chicago, is the flavor of the socioeconomic problems you see in Milwaukee, are they comparable to what you were seeing in Chicago? We've got two urban settings, and people people around the country talk about Chicago as being this terrifying place in many respects. And people around Milwaukee will point at Milwaukee with sort of the same accusations. But are we the same? Are we different? Are we experiencing the same problems? And what are those problems?
We're experiencing the same problems, I would say. Now, as far as which one outweighs the other, I think that is relevant and circumstantial in terms of where you are in those situations and how they directly impact you. But when we think about the killings and violence in Chicago, then we look at here in Milwaukee, rather the gap is 10, 15, or 20 individuals that we lose per year. For me, it doesn't matter. I think one life lost to violence is one life too much.
Yeah.
Had an opportunity to participate in the prayer vigil at Ephesians the other night. And just by chance, I wasn't on program, but I ended up participating and having to stand there and read the names of 228 people who died.
This past year?
Yes, this past year.
From gun violence in Milwaukee?
Well, from various violence, but gun violence, yeah, homicides. And that was very heartbreaking. You know, I have two young adult sons and a young adult daughter. And so reading those names, I'm sitting there, as much as my heart goes out to
those families,
I'm sitting there like, by God's grace, I'm not in this position.
You know, Pastor, you again are now the president of Milwaukee Inner City Churches Allied for Hope, MICA.
Yes.
Which is an organized group of churches from all different denominations.
Yes.
That have come together collectively to address these issues. And the reason that I think that, and I've had a relationship with MICA going back many years ago when,
a good friend, Reverend Willie Briscoe.
Yes.
Was the president of MICA. And to see all of these different churches from all these different denominations coming together, I think denotes that this is more than just an issue in the Black community with Black people. What are your thoughts about what MICA really represents and how working across the denominations and color lines are probably what is in the best interest of all to try to fix this?
Yes. First, let me say, serving as the president of MICA is an honor, but I do not enter it without fear in the sense of the responsibility that comes along with Milwaukee inner city congregations, Allied for Hope. And I look to build off the leadership of the Reverend Willie Briscoe. As a matter of fact, that's who I came into MICA under, Reverend Briscoe, and at that time, Reverend Lewis, and my predecessor, Reverend Jackson.
Right.
You know, I'm a firm believer that there's power in numbers. There's power in numbers. And when you have congregations that can come together, regardless of their religious tradition, regardless of our theological views and perspectives, but to be able to come together in a common place, to be able to address issues that are impacting humanity as a whole. Now, I'm not going to play down the impact that it's having on the African-American community as well as the Latinx community,
right,
as well. And so, yes, we share these responsibilities, but for me, the greatness or the blessing of MICA is that you have individuals who may share some of these views, but they are concerned enough about humanity, regardless of the race, and again, regardless of the of religion. One of the things that I was taught and learned that even the movement that took place in the South, in Selma, Marion, you know, it took the community.
Right.
Yes, it took everyone to come together. As a matter of fact, Pastor Joe Elwinger, who's a member of MICA.
Oh, man, Pastor Joe Elwinger,
pastored in Alabama at that time. He was in it. Yes, marched with them. So that, to me, is the beauty of an organization like MICA, congregational-based organization, organizing.
You know, we're going to have to go to a break, and we'll go to a break when we come back. Got a lot of things want to discuss with you. I'm honored to have you in the studio as we talk about it's a new year.
Yes.
And so we've already had a couple murders already. But we went from 4 years ago, 99 murders.
Yes.
To now, 4 years later, 225, and it's escalating. Is there anything that can be done to stem what is happening in our community, where now city of Milwaukee is one of the worst in the entire nation for people of color? You know, when I grew up, it was the best place.
Mm.
And now I've seen it go in my lifetime from one of the best places in the nation for Blacks to live to one of the worst. And at the trajectory of where we're going right now, what do you think we're going? What is the solution? We've got to go to a break. I'm joined by Pastor Richard Shaw. He is St. Matthew's Church, and he is the president of MICA. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Sandy Williams is here also. We'll be right back.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Kelsey Miles. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
My Shiro always goes the extra mile, stretches every dollar, puts others first. But now it's your time, Mom. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings now at aceyourretirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Weather in a Moment brought to you by Wishkosh, providing technical assistance to workers, help with OSHA contract language, referrals to legal and health professionals, and assistance on safety and health. Call 414-870-3060. That's 414-870-3060.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies this afternoon with scattered rain showers likely. Daytime highs approaching 41. Easterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows level off around 34. Overcast tomorrow. Chance for snow showers. Daytime highs approaching 38. A dusting of snow tomorrow night through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
You can text us at that same number. And I'm really, really honored to have in studio Pastor Richard Shaw. He is the pastor of St. Matthew's, and he's also the president of Milwaukee Churches, Interfaith Churches Allied for Hope, which is acronym is MICA. And, Pastor, before we went to break, I was talking about the easy accessibility to guns and weapons. And then Sandy, you can, we'll let you respond after, or ask your question, Sandy. But the easy accessibility to guns, I'm a lifelong resident of the city. We didn't have that. Okay. In my time, we didn't have those kind of high powered weapons. Maybe at the most, somebody had a .22. Or a shotgun that they brought up from the South. Yes. But military weapons that are on our streets today that young boys have access to are part of the root cause of why so many people are being slaughtered. What are your thoughts about the easy accessibility to those weapons to young people in our community?
Yes, I think when you marry easy accessibility with a mentality and a culture that I believe, and this is my personal belief, that the life of that value has decreased, not only within themselves. It's as a pastor, when you talk to individuals who celebrate the fact that they made it past 20,
right.
I mean,
that happens in our community.
Yes, yes, celebrating and thanking God that they made it to 21 when that was not the case during my time. I was not thinking about death.
Right.
I was not thinking about death at that age. So when you put that with just being able to go to these private gun sales, no background checks, and to just be able to get a gun, even if you have a history of violence and violence that includes firearms, you're going to have these problems. I do believe that the economic piece contributes to it in the sense that times have changed.
Right.
I remember when we used to just fight. we used to just fight, yes. And at best, maybe being from the country, you may get into a rock throwing fight. But now with the weapons that are made available to them, is just a part of that shift. Now, I'm going to go here, and a lot of people may disagree with me on this. As I mentioned earlier, I have young adult children. I also hold accountable the music industry.
Oh, no question.
That celebrates and promotes our young people turning to violence in this manner. Because even if your children are raised in, say, a middle class or upper class economic status, it is very tempting, that peer pressure to be accepted and to fit in, that parents have to fight with. And so I think there are many factors. There are many factors, but we do have to address the easy access of getting guns.
You know, I'm a part of a national organization called Clearing the Airways Project. Mm-hmm. And I have been a part of that organization now for about the last 4 or 5 years. And what that is challenging these radio stations to take that filth off the airways. When you can play on these airways, hey, make sure when you go and kill that SOB, that you kill everybody from his no good grandmama to his grandchildren, and that somehow is okay to play over the airways.
Right.
And yet that is allowed. And we challenge the FCC to take that off the airways because of what was happening nationally to children who are listening to this.
Yes.
Or you smoked his no good wife, but you left his no good children. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is what they're playing over the airways, and somehow that's okay.
Yes, and that's the message that is feeding our young people. And I don't care how you take out the explicit lyrics, the content of the songs resonate with them, you know. And so for me, parents as well as the church, we're having to compete. Our messages are competing, and sad to say that the church and parents, we're kind of losing that battle, especially now when we see the decline in church. And, you know, of course, being a pastor, I'm going to promote a spiritual foundation because that foundation is what helped shape me. Also, I use that to help shape my children. But when you have this drift from the church, regardless of who is responsible for it, because the church has to own its part in it as well, I think the further we got away from God and spirituality, the closer we got to those things that are just destroying us.
You know, we've got to go to a break, Sandy. We'll certainly give you a chance after the break. My guest is, again, Pastor Richard Shaw. He is the pastor of St. Matthew's AME.
CME.
I'm sorry. That's CME. Okay. CME Church. And he's also the president of MICA. You can join us at 844-967-2789. Sandy Williams is here. We'll be right back. You know,
a progressive voice for rural Wisconsin, WAUK 540 AM, always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Buffalo Bills player Damar Hamlin still in critical condition after a hard hit caused a cardiac arrest last night against Cincinnati. Medics performed CPR on him to restore his heart rate for about 10 minutes. CBS medical contributor Dr. David Agus.
They started CPR right away, which is great. My hope is they were able to restore the heart rate soon enough to be able to get blood flow to the brain so there's no damage there.
Strong storms are hitting several states today in the Central Plains and Midwest. Weather Channel meteorologist Jim Cantore's tracking it.
As oftentimes is the case when these systems come from the Pacific, we get these two-headed monsters, a winter side and a severe side down to the south.
Parts of Arkansas got hit yesterday. And in Washington, Republicans are set to take over the House and elect a new speaker. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
Republican Kevin McCarthy will need 218 votes to prevail, and five conservative members of his own caucus have said they will not vote in his favor.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matner with your headlines. Governor Tony Evers is sworn into his second term today in Madison, yet nearly 180 people appointed to state agency boards and commissions by the governor still have not been confirmed by the state Senate. Shortly after winning re-election in November, Evers told reporters he's asked Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu to make clear what needs to be done to get those appointees confirmed. LeMahieu has said he'd at least be willing to refer more of those appointments to committee hearings, which may or may not lead to a full vote before the Senate. Until recently, a former Governor Walker appointee to the Wisconsin Natural Resources Board, Fred Prenn, refused to step down. After his term expired, he finally stepped down on December 30th. The governor's pick to replace Prenn, Sandra D. Nass, still has not been approved by the Wisconsin State Senate. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Mental health challenges impact us all in some way. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services is working hard to meet these challenges, ushering a new model of mental health care, redesigned with you in mind. This community-based system meets people where they're at, with culturally competent services, better access, and no wrong doors to begin the journey. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services, here for you, close to home. If you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health emergency, contact 414-257-7222. Mental health challenges impact us all in some way. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services is working hard to meet these challenges, ushering a new model of mental health care, redesigned with you in mind. This community-based system meets people where they're at, with culturally competent services, better access, and no wrong doors to begin the journey. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services, here for you, close to home. If you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health emergency, contact 414-257-7222.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You could text us at that same number. My guest is Pastor Richard Charles, St. Matthew's CME Church. And he's also the president of MICA, Milwaukee Interfaith Churches Allied for Hope. Sandy Williams is here. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Sandy, you had some things you wanted to talk to the pastor about.
Being a lawyer or an amateur sociologist at best, but you look at these things and you know there's competing issues and that you're right. We're right. A bunch of rap is filled with trash, and it's filled with very damaging trash. If you listen to the lyrics and decide to buy into a lifestyle that's being sold with the words, it leads to terrible places and terrible things. And however, the ability to, like, censor that gets onto a slippery slope that and you end up having sort of a wish that can't be fulfilled. I wish this would go away. I wish guns would go away. And I do wish guns would go away, but it's a wish that's very hard to fulfill in our version of American democracy and the current version of constitutional rights. And so then the question is, what's the option to, we can wish it to go away, but it's a wish we can't fulfill, and therefore it probably isn't the solution to the problem because we can't accomplish it. So then what are the ways to accomplish it? You were saying off the air, Reverend, the pastor, the notion of accountability, and obviously society has to cleanse itself and develop value systems within it. But I suspect that's increasingly hard in a social setting where social norms are breaking down and there's sort of a breakdown of society generally. So, you know, as a both an observer and someone who wants to participate in it, it looks to me like a coalition you've built is a very important thing, and particularly that it cross over racial lines and it become a broad coalition and get society broadly involved in developing value systems. We've been talking on the air for months about the worry we have that the U.S. value system is not invested in children, and that were it to be invested in children, we would be investing mightily in solving the problems of children anywhere and everywhere that they exist, and you know, and where the problems are greatest, which in many respects is in our cities, but it is across the state amongst poor, and in the cities it's terrible because of the environment in which they live that involves potentially not living until you're 20, right? Celebrating graduating from life from the teens into 20 alive is a horrible concept, but it's probably a real one.
Yes. Now, let me say this, because I'm not anti-hip-hop music, but I am anti some of the messages.
Yes, with hip-hop. Yes,
I grew up with it. As a matter of fact, thought that's what I wanted to be. But on that note, I also understood I had options. So when I speak about the community being held accountable as well, and the community can be held accountable by holding others, the powers to be, accountable to create options for our young people, because although gangster rap is an avenue that is being used, it's not the source of the issues that we have. It was an avenue that was exploited, just like anything else in this country and probably abroad. Those things that make money, we invest in it. And so when you are presenting an opportunity for a young man or a young woman who is in who is living in a hopeless situation, that this is your way out, it now becomes survival. I'm going to do what I need to do to come out of this situation. So we can address that, I believe, through advocating for programs for our young people and also churches. There are churches that are doing it, but we have to be the voice of those platforms. One of the things that I expressed to St. Matthew is that when the world turned to social media, many of our churches, many of our African-American churches, we pushed back from that because of our understanding of social media. In the meantime, the powers to be, Hollywood, and others took advantage of that platform. And they were able to get their message out in a way while we were sitting back in the walls of the church giving God praise. And sad to say, even now, when I look at it, as much as I'm an advocate for social media, using it in the right way, what I'm finding now is that pastors are more so attacking other pastors. I think we've missed the message that there's a generation of people out there that we need to be talking to. I don't need to tear down your congregation. I don't need to tear down your religious beliefs in order to promote mine. So I think what we have to do is to advocate for programs, advocate for legislations that impact our communities the most, and just give them options, give them that hope.
You know, people talk about voting, and and our community took a beating for not coming out in voting in overwhelming numbers, and the finger was pointed at you and my community for the fact that Ron Johnson remained the United States Senator over Mandela Barnes. That's, you know, 28,000 votes. It should have been easily, you know, overcome by the black community. But what I always do and say to people is, there's so many people in our community who are living on the margin.
Yes.
Day to day.
Yes.
We have young people, 18, 19 years old, who have no stability at all in their lives. The last thing they're thinking about is voting.
Yes.
That's surviving.
That's surviving.
And you can't, and to point the finger at a community such as ours that is living minute to minute, not even day by day, all these people, and we're talking about young people who are dying on the streets and who are involved in things that we know are going to eventually take their lives or force them to take somebody else's life. We know this exists, and yet in the wealthiest nation on earth, we've ignored that. And if you don't live within the parameters of people, aren't these American citizens too?
Yes, yes.
And yet their lives are basically marginalized and sacrificed as if they don't matter. And long term, as long as these people are invisible, we're spending money. We're fighting all over the world, right? And we say, well, we're doing this because, you know, democracy has to be number one. But inside of our own nation, all of these poor people who don't have to be poor in the wealthiest nation on earth, we totally ignore.
Yes. You know, how did we become the wealthiest nation? Through exploiting people and free labor.
Right.
And so is exploiting people that continues to make the few wealthy people wealthy. And when living in a capitalistic society where, you know, you're simply saying you can make all that you can, you know, you make.
Be all that you can be.
Be all that you can be. You know, you have to have a lot of poor folk in order to have a few wealthy people. And so as the church, and particularly the Black church, we have a responsibility to rewrite that narrative in terms of how our young people in the communities that we're serving see life. Goes back to that hope. Again, I was fortunate. You know, raised in a single parent home. Yes, I grew up poor. I tell people when I hear folks say that they were poor and didn't know it. No, I knew we were poor because we were poor. But I learned that that being poor in urban America is quite different from being poor
in rural America.
Right. And so that was one of the things that I had to learn, because in my rural upbringing, at least that was community, and that was that village. And that's what I'm not seeing. We're not seeing now is that village. We've kind of shut things off. Everybody's doing their own thing. So, and I know, you know, we hear this all the time, that if I did something, the community was at the permission to hold me accountable for what I did. But so now we've gone away from that.
I think you've really hit on something there, because I know historians are already starting to speak about how the urbanization of the world has destroyed the villages of the world. You know, the community villages that had spiritual value to the participants and gave comfort to them, even in poverty. Subsistence living is not an empty spiritualist life. It's a difficult life, but many of the difficulties have richness associated with them. And when you move to an urban setting and you lose the capacity, it's sort of like the difference between barter and currency. Barter is a very interpersonal arrangement. You exchange grain for milk, and you work things out. Once the world converted to currency, if you had money, you could do things. If you didn't have money, you couldn't. And there was no solution. And there is no solution in an urban setting to hunger if you don't have currency. Mm-hmm. And so an urban setting is way different. And I think the people of America who want to point at the hopelessness in the urban setting and say, well, it's just up to the families to pull up themselves by their bootstraps. All you have to do is work, ignores the fact that we have infants born into hopeless situations where their parents don't have bootstraps. And if society, it doesn't form the community around these children that would have existed in an actual community, like having daycare. I mean, I've been talking on the air quite a bit about the access to universal daycare and universal health care as making potentially and universal preschool education as having potentially a profound impact on the next generation and how it is that America needs to focus with family values on this next generation and stop making excuses for themselves sitting on the sideline, and that excuse being, well, it's up to the kid's family, when the kid didn't choose the family and the family might not exist.
So
is that, I mean, is that a fair narrative, or do you think that's oversimplifying?
No, that's a fair narrative, because if we can't change or redirect the conversation within the community and the home, we will continue those same patterns. Now, here's what I'm saying is that we could deal with the outside influences all we want to, but until we make up our minds, or at least we come together as that village, because, listen, there may be some areas that I may want to do, but I can't do. But as a community, those who can do, let's come together so that we can make this impact, so we can have impact on the lives of people in our community.
So let's talk about, I'm 68 years old and was born in the urban reality. I've never lived in the South. It's always been in the urban reality. And from a family of 13, certainly a mother and a father who were married for 66 years. And so the urban center was community. The church that was up the street from where I lived as a young person, we had to go to church. There was no question whatsoever. From the time we were very young, my mother made sure, like all the rest of my friends, that you had a foundation. You had a spiritual foundation. And so the church that was up the street from us, Faith United Church of Christ, never will forget it. One congregation, two locations. And they had something called the Black Hawk Club that kept me and my brothers and other young African Americans. It was basically a white congregation, Protestant congregation. But there were activities. Mm-hmm. I love symphony music. Why should I even know anything about symphony music? Well, when I was a young boy, that church would take us to the symphony and give us exposure, mm-hmm. would take us out to rural areas and give us exposure. But whoever I am, it's because of the experiences of the people in that church mm-hmm. who exposed me to things that I would have never been exposed to before. So we had that. The urban community had that. And then we lost it. And we lost it, and I say we lost it because, again, got to go to break. 844.
Are you dreading going into work every day? Do you want a career where you can earn more and feel appreciated? If you answered yes, then Sigma Castings, a division of Sigma Engineered Solutions in Marcus Ann and Jackson, is your answer. They are more than a company. They are a family of dedicated experts that span the continents. Here are a few ways they make you feel appreciated. Entry-level pay is $18 an hour with regular performance reviews. After 90 days, you get 80 hours of vacation plus 11 paid holidays. They will give you a $2,000 sign-on, stay-on bonus. They offer a robust benefit package with low premiums and great coverage, and their 401k will blow you away. Now hiring first shift, Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. till 2 p.m. Start your new career today at Sigma Castings in Marquezan and Jackson. Find them on Indeed or call 920-260-8560 and wake up happy to go to work.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You care for the house, the kids, and our future. Ashiro's day is never done. So let's start saving a little more now. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. Visit AsiaRetirement.org.
brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 41. Winds out of the east, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast skies tonight. Lows dip down to about 34. Overcast again tomorrow. Chance for snow showers. Daytime highs approaching 38. A dusting of snow tomorrow night through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Shows always. You can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Pastor Richard Shaw. He is the pastor of St. Matthew's CME Church, and he is also the president of Milwaukee and the Faith Churches Allied for Hope. Sandy's here also. You know, Pastor, I'm going to bring you back because, you know, we've got a lot of work to do.
Yes.
Ahead of us, and we already know that the summer will be here and the warm weather before we even know it. And so I think the churches especially have a major role to play. And here's what I mean. The churches are free. The pastors are free, right? They're the freest people there are. Mm-hmm. The politicians aren't free.
Right.
Because they got to respond to somebody else. Mm-hmm. But the churches, which have always been that bastion that my mother and my grandmother and their generations knew, the one place you could go and feel free to talk about things. But that's not the case as much anymore. What is the difference with the church today and the church when you were a young man?
Listen, I think the church has been hit in at least two ways. One would be the influence of American evangelical Christianity, as well as the prosperity.
Preaching, yeah.
Preaching and perception or tradition of the church. Let me start with the American evangelical tradition. When you have a faith movement that is directly connected with right-wing conservatism that preaches and teaches in a way that ignores human suffering, and if they do mention human suffering, then it's because the individuals deserve it and they're sinners, and the only way that they can come around is that they have to change their lives. Prosperity gospel got us to focus on the building wealth. And I'm not opposed to empowering people to come out of debt. So I'm not anti this. But when we do that, we miss the opportunity to connect with the faith of people. Regardless of people in church or not, I believe that every one of us have a faith component in our lives, rather is in the walls of the church, may not be Christianity, it may be something else. But we have some type of faith component within us, and we miss that. I did my doctoral work on inspiring a middle-class congregation to engage its marginalized community. And explaining that, you know, middle class, we really don't have a black middle class person now, but it dealt more so with economics. That at some point, the church, when we felt we got ours, we were able, and I'm speaking particularly to the black church, we've accomplished things. We've gotten degrees that we normally didn't have. We're making money. That our view of community changed. And what I push St. Matthew to do is to look at its community as being more than just a charity case. In other words, sometimes we give because it makes us feel good about ourselves. But giving, and not necessarily money, but giving our time and effort to a community because we really want to see that community be transformed and we want to change that community. One of the greatest frustrations that I have is when during the holidays, you know, people come in, drop turkeys off and hams, and then take photos of contributions that they've made.
The other 363 days a year.
Then turn around and vote against programs that could actually help our community. So the black church, just to get to this, is that we have to get back to that point where we are a faith community that embraces the community that we're in, which then makes us one big community.
You know, as someone who's stopped going to church, my sense is that the churches became far too involved with figuring out how they worshiped God and arguing about what it was about people that made them virtuous, rather than focusing on acting out a life like Jesus Christ, for instance, or a godlike life or a spiritual life, which would be manifested by how we lived. And what you were just saying resonated with me, because I think if churches focused far more on how we lived our lives and less about how we worshiped, we would all be more spiritual and the church would have more meaning for far, far more people. But I have the sense that the evangelical movement is so busy identifying who the sinners are and what to do with them.
Yes.
And how it is that LBGDQ or whatever the people are belong outside of our ranks and which bathrooms they should use. And instead of embracing good acts for the purpose of the community. And so I think you're dead on. In fact, you were sitting here talking and thinking, I think I'm going to go to your church.
And you know, Sandy, which is why Micah is such an important group and organization, because this is everybody. Nobody's left out because of their denominationalism.
But it's focused on doing things.
Yes.
And not
collectively.
And not quibbling about how we say the Lord's Prayer or, you know, what exact verses we use and you know, the things that institutional churches have gotten bogged down in.
Pastor, because we're running short on time, I got to bring you back because so much more to talk about, especially the plans with Micah. I know you guys, are you going to have two locations? One congregation, are you going to remain?
One congregation, two locations. Basically, one facility will be more so for our outreach ministry. That is the original facility there on 9th Street. The other, taking in consideration that we're an aging congregation, you know, we want so we have the spot on 76th Street, but we would do more about worship, but still serving that community as well.
Listen, Pastor, I want to thank you, Pastor Richard Shaw, who I hope you'll be accepting my invitation as we continue in 2023. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be back. All right.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life.
That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.